I've got Rachel here. She'll tell you where she comes from, her background, and likewise, she will also tell you how she too came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her own personal Savior, and then her involvement on the Logos. Right, Rachel.
Hello, my name is Rachel Lee Yit Ning. I come from West Malaysia, and I have been a Christian for 10 years. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ at the age of 14, so you can guess my age from there. I accepted the Lord as a student, and I thank the Lord for that, because that is my growing age, and that is where my character is being formed. And I thank the Lord that he found me, not I found him, and he molded my character right from a tender age. And I came to join the Logos because, I really want to know where I should be going, in which direction I should be going in this life. You see, I am quite active in the church, and I have been really having a desire to know God, and I have been to several leadership seminars and camps and many other things to want to find out what my gifts are and how I could use it for the Lord. And coming onto the Logos is partly this desire to know where I'm going in Christian life, where the Lord wants me. When I was back in my home church, I was actively serving in many church activities, but I felt that there are greater challenges ahead of me, and I really want to know where God wants me. And so I came on the Logos with that conviction that the Lord wanted me to learn something here which I could use in later years. And I've been really learning a lot of things.
Now, that's I follow that, and that's tremendous, of how you come, the Lord found you. That's a beautiful term, that. Because surely he says he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, there's been a sort of general, not a general statement, but a common thread or a silver thread through all these chats and interviews we've had with different ones on the Logos today. And this thread is that each of them say they come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, as I asked Gabby and others before, what's your feelings or your thoughts on this business of saying Jesus is your Lord?
I feel that I want to live my life to the fullest, and I do not want to be regretting or sorry when at the end of my life I look back at my whole life. And so I was searching for the best way to live my life, and I reckon that since it is God who made me, just like an engineer who made a machine, he made the machine and he knows the best way to run it. And so, as I feel, God made me, so the best way is for him to tell me how I should run my life. And so when I accept him as my Lord and my Savior, this is what I'm saying. I say, Lord, you made me, and you know the best way that I can run my life, and you know the plan for my life, and now I hand my life to you, and you, it's like the captain of the ship, you direct my life. That's what I mean when I say accept him as my Lord and my Savior.
Amen. Now, knowing your background, you come from Malaysia.
Yes.
And you're Chinese.
Yes.
Now, with your nationality and your nationalistic background, how do you find working with people of other nationalities? Now, here you're talking with someone who's Irish. I've met up with Dutch people today, Chinese, Indian, and various nationalities. And this question is similar to what we've asked them too. Working on a ship with people of different nationalities and different backgrounds and different temperaments, how do you feel, or what's your thoughts on this with when you're thinking back your background?
How do I work among them?
Yes.
At first, I found it very difficult, especially when I was sharing a room with a German cabin mate. I found the ways of doing things are so different, and even the ways of washing dishes is different, and the way of making bread is different. And so, at first, in the beginning, I found it really hard. But I think if you really want to love a person and accept a person, after all, we are all children of God. You would want to find out more about his or her background to understand her better, and then you can live better with her. And And so far now, being exposed to so many different nationalities and having to live with them and eat with them the whole day long, 24 hours a day, I began to lose consciousness of each other being different, of different nationalities. I just take each one as a fellow member of a family. And sometimes I don't even think he's different from me or she's different from me. I just take it as we are part of the family and the lovers.
Tremendous. That's beautiful. And of course, that's the way it would be. The Word of God sees us all. God says he sees no difference in Jew or Greek or bond or free. We're all sinners in the sight, and we all got to come and accept Christ. Your background, of course, now coming back to it, with being a Malaysian,
mm-hmm.
In the sense, what about your own folk, your people? Are they Christians, or are you the only Christian in the family? And if you are, how do you find witnessing or living amongst your own family at home?
I'm not the only Christian. My sister and I are the two only Christians at home. We are two black sheep at home. My parents, my brothers and sisters, they are free thinkers. They do, you know, worship ancestors, but they just do it because the community they are living in, everybody is doing that thing, so they just move along with the community. I find that witnessing at home, in this kind of a home, it's more of a living the life than the talking. Because sometimes when I talk to them about Christianity, they do not really accept what I say, and they do not understand certain things that I say. But when they see my life being changed, and they see me living out the Christian principles, then when I do talk to them, when they ask questions, then I find it easier, you know, to present them the gospel.
You don't get any opposition in the sense of, to the extent that you could be feeling left out of things because you're a Christian in your community.
Not in my community, but at home, yes, in the beginning, I wasn't allowed to go to church. My father said, if you go to church, I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah.
And some Asian parents are really sometimes quite brutal in a sense. But I didn't go to church as regularly as I would after my father gave such an opposition. But I persisted. I went to my school. At the time I was in school, I went to the school fellowship. So I wasn't deprived of fellowship then. Then my father saw that I was persistent. And I mean business with the religion that I have, he called it a religion, the religion that I have embraced. And he knew that I meant business. So late, as you see that it's really something that I sincerely wanted in my life, he began to change his attitude. I believe the Lord changed him at that grade. And then he accepted me as a Christian. He allowed me to be baptized. Actually, I baptized without his permission, and when he found out he couldn't unbaptize me, so he let me stay as I was. I do feel left out in certain things, like certain religious festivals that my family take part in. I have no part in it. But as I take my stand as a Christian, they respect me.
Tremendous. Thank you, Rachel. If you had a message or a word to say to the Australian Christians in general, now I'm talking, you've been to Brisbane, now you're in Sydney, and you're about to move on, if the Lord will, tomorrow morning to Melbourne, with a new challenge and meet up with more new faces, new people. What would your thoughts or words be to the Australian Christians, having now met up with a few of them? What would you like to leave as a last message to them, maybe never seeing them again?
As I see so much of materialism in Australia, I tend to think that my message to the Australians would be that this life, however comfortable, however good, however pleasurable, is just a passing phase. Comparing this life to the eternal life is just like comparing a 0.01 of a cm to a kilometer, let's say. And there's really no comparison. So the words I want to say is the words that I read in a book of a communist young man who said that I want to live a life such that at the end of the whole life, as I look back, I will have nothing to regret. My life would have been worthwhile.
tremendous, and I hope those who listen to this cassette will, especially the Christians, will accept this challenge and take heed of just what you've said. Thank you, Rachel. May God bless you as you now move on with the others on the ship to Logos or to Melbourne and the other parts of the world. Thank you for the time
and
diligence.
Thank you.